Welcome to Michigan Ice Guys, podcasting to help you fish hard water better.
Hey, it's the MI Ice Guys. Chaz and Steph here for this segment and the next. We're fresh back in from seminars. Maybe you guys caught us out there at Allen Bob's or down at the DNR Sportstown Kalamazoo. We had packed out sessions.
Awesome turnout. I think it just grows more and more every year.
Oh, yeah. The guys down at Allen Bob's, they were like, oh, we never have more than 50. I'm like, it's always standing room.
We had the 100 down there easy.
Yeah, it was crazy. Jack's supposed to get me a count. Yeah. Our good buddy Jack Horning from K&E Sports and Tackle and Stopper Lures and Scandia and all the million brands they have of great fair-priced ice fishing equipment.
And then Scott DeVries and those guys at Allen Bob's ran some great discounts for the guys that came out for the seminar.
That one, if you guys don't have it on your calendar, put it down. The first Thursday night in December next year is almost always when it is. Watch our website, watch our Facebook page, watch the Allen Bob site, and you'll get a heads up on that. And we found, actually, while we were out digging around, some new gizmos, some whiz bangs and things. I'll tell you, I saw a whole lot more combo rods now dedicated to inline reels.
A lot, yeah.
And there's getting to be the price is starting to come down a little bit on inline reels. The Black Bettys aren't $1,000 anymore. They're down, I think, $40-$50, somewhere in there. But we saw some other items, and being K&E guys, we got some demos of, we've got some test product, so as soon as there's ice, and we'll get to that in today's show, we're planning on getting out there and giving these things a try and checking them out. Now, some of the new colors in the Scandia tungstens. A
lot of new colors out there.
There's more of the diamond heads.
Yeah, the Pelkies.
Pelkies, then they've got the Escanabas, which is another shape with the diamond in it.
And the new ones.
Oh, yeah.
The moons.
Moons.
In tungsten.
The traditional moon jig that K&E's had for years is now offered in its shape in tungsten. And a lot of great colors on it. The traditional moon colors, and there's a lot of moon glow colors that have come across into tungsten. So if you're a fan of those styles, K&E's got them right out there. And then one of the things that we asked for, and we were really, really happy when they came out with it, was the small hole dipper.
The mini scooper.
I have seen so many guys that have cut and screwed and pop riveted and everything to mangle up a big rubber ice dipper into something that would work with a small hole. That K&E came out with that new little yellow one with a nice long 18-inch handle. So you guys ought to go on, hit up Allen Bob's. I know he's got a few on the shelf. I know there's a lot if you're down further south of DNR. A couple of weeks, we'll be up to Jay's, and I got a feeling Jay's there in Clare that we'll have a few of those as well on hand there.
She got hooked on those 4-inch augers last year. That's the scooper for you.
Yeah. Because, you know, those big scoopers just aren't going to fit in that little tiny hole. And you do everything, though. If you're like our buddy Al, you just reach in and dig it out with your hand, and that's what the way world guys do it, because they don't really carry a lot of stuff with them out there. But for those of you guys that like to keep your hands a little bit drier and not reach into the slush every single time, that new dipper is going to be a really a nice addition to your tackle. We also saw some other things. One of the things that a lot of people were excited about is that new Eskimo hybrid shelter.
It's like a flip/pop shelter.
Yeah.
Because they had the pop part on the front of the flip.
Yeah, you flip it over you, and then you pop out the hub system like a lot of theirs do it, but it's all based on a sled. It's a plastic sled with a seat in it, and I believe it's a two-man addition, so you can get in there, sit down cozy, and get to fishing in some really nasty weather, or if you're sight fishing and need the dark, they got it all lined up for you on that. So that's another...
And it gives you a lot of room there in the front for the longer rods.
Yeah, it does. It stretches out quite a bit, and it gets wide.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to use that hub system like that, and it looks like a big triangle. It was pretty cool. Jack had me climb in and sit down in one of those. Hey, we also met the guys from Patriot Rods.
Yeah.
They're down in Southwest Michigan, and they're making custom rods. They're now making some custom ice rods. And they handed me a couple of them, and so as soon as we see some ice, We're going to slap a reel on those and probably a Scandia jig and get out there and check the action on those. And we're going to have to find it some bigger fish, you know, because one of those he gave me is kind of stout.
Yeah. We'll try for some walleyes on an Erie.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, if Erie freezes up.
Yeah.
They're be in that.
Some of those Patriot rods, too, are set up for adding the schoolie or inline reels, too. They have wooden handles or they have an additional cork handle on them.
Yeah,
so they're not all set up for spinning reels.
Yeah, there's really a lot of different options available on those and stuff. Now, one of the things that's not a new item because nobody's really selling it yet, but I think we've got K&E talked into looking into it at least. I'm down there giving my seminars and I pull the cover off of my auger. And my auger, you know, I think I mentioned to you guys last year that I had modified my auger to have a magnetic cover. And all I did is put some rare earth magnets in there, little metric screws, and I think I used nylock nuts on the outside.
Yeah.
And snap. It snaps right onto your auger blades magnetically, so you're not messing with that little rubber band that's always popping off or you can't figure out which way to wrap it.
You don't have to bend over and do anything. Just put the auger down and pop it on.
Yeah, you just poke your auger at the cover and it snaps right on. It's a really kind of feature. Yeah, cool.
So at the seminar when you demonstrated that, then everybody ran out to the floor looking, where's those magnetic ice covers?
Oh, Scott DeVries was so mad at me. He comes back. He says, why'd you tell him I'm selling those? I didn't. I said I made it.
Yeah.
So I think what I'm going to have to do, Steph, is we're going to have to grab one of the other augers that we have and do a step-by-step how to, like an instructable.
And post it out there.
And we'll put it out on the MIIs, guys, on how to do that.
Where we got the magnets from. And
well, that was my super secret.
So
Harbor Freight. Harbor Freight and the local Ace Hardware had the screws. We were all set. So I banged it out in 15 minutes. It'll probably take me 20 if I have to stop and take pictures. So we'll be looking to post that up there on MIIs, guys.
What, four new augers at the house to do that too? So
yeah, there we go. We'll take one of your new augers that you got, the new Fenbores, and convert one of those over. Chad and Anthony will probably have us converting their world ones over.
Exactly.
But we also had some other interesting conversations with some guys. There's a lot of new spring bobbers out there. I saw K&E has like three or four different styles of spring bobbers out there. If you guys are not tight liners and you want to use a spring bobber, there's a lot of options. A lot of them now are they'll slide back on your rod, so
you can tuck them out of the way.
Yeah, so it doesn't get snagged up or bent or wrecked when you store your rod.
That's really handy. That one from K&E that had that little clip on it that slid back and
forth. Oh, yeah. That was pretty nice. So we saw a lot of cool things out at those shows. We've got a couple more shows to go. We mentioned the 19th of December, we're going to be up at Jay's. Steph and I are going to pop up there and give a little short seminar and hang out around the K&E table for a little while. Answer some questions. If you're up in that neck of the woods, stop by, see us. Say, hey, give us a heads up on maybe where you've seen some skim ice. I don't think we'll have walkable ice by then, but maybe a little further north than that, we will.
We'll be checking it out, trust me.
And then we have just confirmed Saddlers in Six Lakes over by Ionia there. We are doing a seminar on Saturday, January 9th, over there. And our good friends at Costa just sent us a box of goodies with some lanyards and some keepers for the sunglasses and a whole bunch of cool stuff. There's even beer huggies in there. So
polishing cloths and
et cetera. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
A lot of fun stuff. So look for us over there, and we'll post that up on MIIs, guys, as well. We're going to make sure that you guys know what's coming out, and by then, maybe we'll even have had a chance to try a few of these other things that we've
give you an update on some of those products.
Yeah. So we're the MIIs guys, and remember, this year, the ice map is probably going to be a very critical thing. So if you can help us out by posting on MIIs, guys, reporting when you see ice, where you saw it, all you got to do is get on there, click on the report ice, select your county, then select your lake. Tell if it's 0 to 3, 3 to 6, 6 to 9, I know that's going to be a while, or 9 plus, which I'm hoping maybe we'll see somewhere in the state. Help us out. Help your fellow anglers out. We don't want to know your secret hole on the lake, just that there's some ice. So, guys, hang tight. We're going to be right back, and we're going to talk early ice and touch a little bit on some early ice safety. Guys, when you're out on the ice, do you protect your eyes? The MIIs guys have partnered with Costa Del Mar Sunglasses. Made in America, made by hand. The thinnest glass technology for sunglasses. 100% UV protection. We love our Costas so much, we took them to Finland, to the Worlds. They allowed us to see where other people had been drilling before, protected our eyes in the blowing snow, and kept us looking good on the ice. Made in America, Costa Del Mar sunglasses. Get them online, get them at a local retailer near you. Remember, tell them the MI Ice guys sent you in. You need the best. Hey, we're the MI Ice guys, and we're right back from a break, and we want to talk about early ice and how to fish it and how to be safe on it. So let's cover a little safety tips. Every year we talk a little safety. Well, we want you guys to be safe and be able to hear us and see us out on the lakes. We all dread going through. So simple, smart things. We all know about a spud.
It's in the back of everybody's mind.
We all know about, you know, checking the ice and being very careful about it, especially if you're taking kids out there or something like that. Make sure that that ice is safe. Well, some of the things that we want to always recommend that you keep with you, some basic things, spud or auger, something that you can check the ice depth with, the thickness of the ice.
Yeah. First of all, checking that thickness when you're first getting out onto the ice is taking those depth readings and doing it like every 10 feet. I mean, don't assume that just because you check the ice 20 yards out from shore that, oh, it's all good. Because some of those big bodies of water in our basin lakes here, they take a lot longer to freeze up in the middle than they do on the edges. It's going to freeze from the edges out. So you're going to have a tapered ice thickness there.
And if you're not real familiar with the lake, there could be a spring there.
Springs or any streams coming in, feeder creeks. Swampy areas are going to be, they're never going to freeze up because of the gas.
Yeah, that's just messy.
Yep.
So you want to be extra careful with that. But there's also some things you ought to keep in there for the idea of rescue.
Yes.
Now, in the seminars, we upgraded this year. We had a projector. We had a PowerPoint presentation. We had some videos. It was pretty impressive, if I do say so myself. Yeah. But one of the things that I highlighted on there was the picks.
Yeah, self-rescue stuff.
Picks.
Picks.
Pulling yourself up out of the ice. If you go through, you can pull the picks out and do them. But if those picks are wound up
in your pocket somewhere.
In your pocket, zipped in the inside, and you've got to go through a maneuver to get them out.
Or they're in your sled. They're not going to do any good.
Or worse, in the truck.
They got to be on your person, readily accessible.
I do the demonstration every year, and I show them that I run the string down my sleeves.
Yeah, like grandma's mittens.
Yeah, grandma used to put yarn on your mittens so you didn't lose them at school, but it keeps them right out there at the ends of your arms. I tuck the pick up in my wrist, and bam, they're there when I need them.
Yeah, and they got those safety tips on them, so you're not getting poked or anything by them. You're just fine. So,
yeah, you can get several different ones. There's the ones that nest together. I know HT sells some of those. There's the ones like Steph was describing that have the little protector spring-loaded point over them that covers the sharp point on them. Either one of those. Figure out which one you're going to have and make sure you've got a safe way to carry them. And a place where you can get at them.
Wear them, hang them around your neck, have them ready.
Sure, something like that.
In case you need them.
Now, another one of the things that we talk about in all our seminars, rescuing your buddy. Now, if you're like me, when grandpa or dad or whoever taught you how, well, you know, that guy will go through the ice here. You reach out there with your auger and help him out. You want to stay back on good solid ice. Okay, they didn't have a $600 Milwaukee drill with razor sharp blades on the other end. Which end am I going to, you know, shove to them?
Yeah.
Not the drill. And if I hand them the sharp end, what's going to happen? You know, I'm probably going to be pulling on the drill. There's likelihood I could pull the trigger on that drill, and now we got a spinning razor blades at a guy flailing in a hole. That just sounds like a horror movie. So what we recommend is a rope.
Yeah. Bring you a chunk of maybe 25 to 40 feet chunk of rope would be great. You can throw it. If it's attached to a bag, like the one that I have is a rescue rope, which has a bag one end.
You can buy those rescue ropes. I know like West Marine, they throw ropes for boats.
Yeah.
It's a floating rope. Now, if you want to make one because you're a good MI Ice Guy ice guyver and love to go out and have a little garage project, all you got to do is find you some 3/8 half inch floating cotton rope. Put a grommet in the bottom of a nylon bag. If you got an old nylon jacket that's got a team on it that you don't root for anymore, maybe it's a Lions jacket and you just don't want to be seen with it. You know, you can just sew that up real quick into a bag. Put a grommet in the bottom and put loops on each end of that rope. That way it won't come out of the bag. You'll never lose it from the bag. And you don't have to roll it up every time. You just stuff it in a sack. A little Velcro on the top holds it all together. And you have something you can keep in your sled or bucket. And you can whip it right across a hole.
So just make sure you hold on to the one end.
Yeah, hold on to the one end. A lot of times I suggest, you know, maybe a carabiner on it.
Well, people panic, you know, when they're trying to do something. And then they
throw the whole thing.
Exactly, throw the whole damn thing. It's like,
yeah. Another handy thing is when you have that rope with you, we always like to mention that a lot of the kettle lakes, especially over here in West Michigan, real steep embankments.
Yeah.
Lowering your sled down or pulling your sled back up the hill is a real handy thing to have an extra big hunk of rope for.
Yeah. And well, say you get out there and you forgot your rope. Well, guess where you got a rope? You got one on your jet sled.
Yep. If you pull the stuff out of your jet sled, you can swing that around to help rescue a guy.
They can grab that and pull them out.
So it's a lot duller than that sharp auger.
Yeah. Another thing you can think about, too, is for your own personal safety and self-rescue is investing in a flotation suit this year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it keeps you from going under. You're going to stay floating, so it's going to make that self-rescue a lot easier.
Now, you guys that listen regularly know that Steph and I are big fans of the ice suits, jacket and bib combos. We get a new suit every year for USA Ice Team. This year's is the Striker Patriot. And it is a floating suit.
Yep.
Now, for those of you guys that aren't familiar with that, they've just put some flotation in the suit.
It's built right into the material.
So if you crack through, you're not going to get sucked down under the ice. You don't have to be a good swimmer. You're going to be up at the top. You're going to have a little time to get your picks out or wait for you ready to throw you a rope or something.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot more time. You're not going to get soaked with water and be dragged down under the ice. You're going to be floating. So.
Now, if you do get wet, one real brief tip. I've tried this. You can't get jeans on over cold, wet legs. Take some sweats.
Some dry socks, everything else.
Yep. Yeah, just some sweats, a sweatshirt or a hoodie, old ratty stuff. Just put it in a duffel bag. Keep it in the back of the truck. So if you do get wet, you can go back. Get into some dry clothes. Get home. Prevent hypothermia, man. You got to do everything possible. Now, when you're fishing early ice, there's some things you want to look for. Now, if you were one of the smart guys and listened to our previous episodes where we talked about the idea of, hey, take the boat out. You could still take the boat out. I mean, I'm looking out the window right now today. There's no snow. There's no ice. You could, if you haven't winterized it and shrink wrapped it and everything else, you could still put the boat in and go find those weed beds.
Yeah. Find where the fish are at now because that's where they're going to be early ice.
Yeah. And you want to be able to log that somehow. Take a notebook with you.
Mark it on your Navionics app if you haven't got it already.
Navionics app is another great one. The free GPS apps, if you're not into the bottom topography, there's a lot of great resources. Make notes. Now, we talk about pre-fishing, and that was one of the big things we talked about in the seminars. Knowing where the fish are. If you're going to take a buddy out, a new guy that's new to the area or a guy that's new to ice fishing.
Taking the kids out. You want to put them on the fish to keep them occupied and make it a good experience for them.
You want to pre-fish.
Yep.
Get out there, test it out, learn the lake, learn some spots. Once you have that figured out, then you can go back there reliably, and you know three or four good spots where it's going to really improve your eyes instead of having to go cold every time, start and scratch. Now, on a new lake, what do you look for? Early ice, you're probably going to look for maybe some mid-depths with some weeds. If you can see through it, great. If you can't, use some clues from shore, figure out where maybe there's going to be a weed bed, something like that.
Yeah, look for the community hole where everybody's fishing, and just look at people out there and use them as your bobbers. If you see people out there and they're setting the hook, there's some fish over there probably.
Yeah.
If they're just sitting there and there's lots of people and they're all scattered, and you just look them, use them as bobbers.
Yeah, if they're all still drilling a lot of holes, they're probably looking too.
Yeah, so get out there and join them and find your spot.
But I think one of the most important things about doing the pre-fishing, whether you use your Navionics app or a notebook or another app to save some waypoints, figure out where the fish are, what they're biting on. Write down some notes, maybe even on just a notepad. Figure all that stuff out on the early ice. And then when you start taking buddies out there, because everybody's got that guy at work, says, this year I'm really going to go with you. Mm-hmm. Well, he might actually show up, and you really want to back up what you've been saying. That you're a true good ice fisherman and you catch fish. Well, you better catch fish when he's watching.
Yep. Proof is in the pudding.
Oh, yeah. Other things on early ice, one thing I like to mention, and I was asked this question this weekend, is ice etiquette. How close do you fish to another fisherman? Well, unless you know them really well,
yeah,
give them some space.
Yeah.
Early ice, I know that you know, people see Steph and I start catching fish. We're big guys. All right, we're already bowing the ice. Everybody runs over next to us.
Except for my brother Dale.
Yeah, your brother Dale runs the other direction, but everybody else runs over to see what we're catching, what we're using, and everything. Talk to us and all that kind of stuff. All of a sudden, you realize you're on 3 inches of ice, and you look around, and you're we got 4,000 pounds of beef standing here.
Mm-hmm.
Not the best plan on early ice. So, guys, I hope those few tips are going to help keep you dry, help you get off to a good start when the season actually does kick in. We get some skim ice on the pond. We're waiting and waiting and waiting for it. Remember, if you see it, get on MIIceGuys.com and fill out our ice map. Steph and I are going to be looking at it just as hard as you are to see where somebody says there's ice.
Yes.
Then we're going to get in the truck and roll. So we're the MIIce Guys. We'll be back and talk some more about some new stuff that we've found, probably even some information from the guys that were up to the St. Paul show this weekend. Yes. So MIIceGuys.com. Get your gear ready. It is coming.
Hey, remember to stop on out to MIIceGuys.com and report the ice thickness where you're fishing. Help us all out in knowing where there's safe ice. Check out the map online at MIIceGuys.com.
Hey, we're the MIIceGuys, and hey, we're back and talking some more new product stuff. We've got the two rebels from Beyond in the studio with us today. Anthony and Chad are fresh back from the St. Paul Ice Show, and we're going to talk
about Milwaukee.
You did Milwaukee too?
Yeah, unfortunately.
You got lost on the way home. I see how it works. Did you at least go fishing in between?
No. No. We did go steelhead fishing.
In between, yes.
Hey, Bill Ferris, move your mic up there, will you?
I didn't think you wanted to hear me breathe.
We don't. But it's
inevitable. I think that's your kids that don't want to hear you breathe.
No, we took the new boat out on, what, Wednesday?
Yep.
The Wednesday in between?
Monday and Wednesday, wasn't it?
Well, that's cool. Did you take Did you take the new boat across?
Yeah, we drove the boat across the lake.
To Milwaukee? The light came.
Would have been a little
frozen, a little so might as well.
We don't have that much gas.
Anthony's got gas all the time.
We floated beads the whole way.
Floated beads right on. All right. So while you were up there at the St. Paul and the Milwaukee shows, the new cool stuff. Yeah, I know we were talking earlier about a lot of custom that's coming out.
There's a lot of custom rod builders that were there, some custom jigs. The custom jigs weren't really represented much at the shows that I saw anyways, but the custom rods were definitely there.
Now, for the guys that are listening that are buying off-the-shelf stuff, what's the advantage of a custom rod? Preach to us, Reverend Chad.
He's the one buying all the custom rods. No, we both bought one. But, I mean, you can just have it built exactly how you like it. You know, they're a lot lighter. You know, a little more sensitive because they're lighter, so you feel a little bit better. But, you know, then you get, I don't know, they got like, what, Thorn Brothers probably had 100 different ones.
Yeah, at least.
So you can sit there and play with whichever one you want, the length, the bend.
And find a combination of any of them that you like and different corks and colors.
Yep, different guides. They got recoil guides, the bending guides. You know, you got your fiberglass, you got your composite. But everybody's going to a really small cork handle, super lightweight. You know, they do have some other stuff. I know Thorn Brothers has some wind grip handles. They have some kind of composite one that Anthony's checking out.
Some sin grip, some sin cork, I think is what they call it.
You know, they do have some built-in springs.
But sin, that's S-Y-N?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Just checking your lifestyle there.
The built-in spring ones, I think, are more 4 or 5 mil springs.
Yeah, they're a little heavier, definitely, especially you get them real cold. I got a feeling that they're going to be more 4 and 5 mil.
You know, they are really nice rods, but, you know, it just has something that nobody else has, I guess. Probably the big thing. A lot of tournament guys are going to custom-built rods, so they got 6 rods that are all the identical.
And I've been looking for one specific rod for like the last 3 years. I have one of them, but I cannot find it anywhere. I've busted the tip off it like 3 times now, so it's down to like 17 inches. A little stiffer than I'd like it. So anyways, I've been looking for it. Couldn't find it anywhere, so now I had one. I didn't have one built, but I found one that was in the custom department that suit my needs.
Now, these custom rods, I know I ran into the guys from Patriot, and they were selling me their version of a custom rod, and they were doing the sales pitch. But What kind of price range? The Thorn Brothers, obviously, are the ones that you guys probably saw the most of.
$60 to $130.
I mean,
like
you
that.
Can make them expensive as you want, but I think the base number you're talking is probably $60 to $80,
and then probably $60 to $100.
There were some the little bit longer rods and were a little more, and especially if they had the recoil guides on them already or the newer corks or.
Yeah. Just really depends on the combination, but I bet. Well, the one that you got was 60. I think the rest are 80 to 100.
Right, right. That was another reason why I like the one that I got.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at the new clam rods, anybody's new rods are like $70 to $100 anyway. The manufactured stuff. So why not spend it? You might even spend less and get something custom.
And I got some Patriot Customs. Oh gosh, 5-6 years ago, they were probably. I want to say they were $30 to $40 a piece, and. That's actually what I used out in Montana most of the time. And yeah, you can find some good custom stuff locally.
So I guess to just kind of wrap up the custom rod thing, it's really not so much of a vanity thing of a fancy looking rod, but it's a specific action that you're looking for. And you got a lot more options than an off the shelf, you know, that
the manufacturer stuff is built one way and that's it. You either like it or you don't. And I mean, the Clam Signature Series rods, I think went to 100, the St. Croix golds and silver are what, you know, 80 to 100. So, I mean, you can actually sit down with a rod builder and have it built the exact way you want for cheaper, maybe, than a manufactured rod.
And you don't get a big old reel that you don't like. And...
Yep.
That's cool. That's cool.
If you want reel seat, you want cork, there's a lot of different things.
There was I noticed that when I was at a few of the shows, inline reels, a lot more manufacturers out there are those.
Yep, everybody has their own. I mean, Black Betty's still out there. I mean, HT has one. Eagle Claw, Clam, pretty much everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Fraybill.
Yeah, Fraybill has one. HT has a couple.
Yeah, does Ice Force have anything?
I don't think so.
I don't think they have one yet, but I still like that round colored Schooley thing. Yeah. Schooley doesn't
break. Yeah, I saw the Schooleys. They were on sale again. But some of the other products that were out there, you guys mentioned that the Clam's got a new line of jigs.
Yeah, Clam's always coming out with new jigs. They got some new ones, the Caviar jig, the Dropkick.
What was that one you were really talking about?
The Clam. They actually have weights to go on your crankbaits, so they're crank weights. You can get the action that you would normally get on a crankbait, but just jigging it straight up. So now you're using your shad wraps and your thunder sticks and your minnow wraps or whatever you're using. You're using those under the ice now. Getting them to get that sideways darting action going up and down.
Cool.
Yeah, but, I mean, Clam came out with, you know, they changed their clam plate, too.
Yeah.
You said you kind of like that idea a little better, maybe not.
Yeah, well, I do and I don't. They took it so that you don't have to take the chuck off the drill anymore. So it's user-friendly on your drill, but I don't know if it takes the stress off the chuck like the other one does.
Okay, cool. Now, I know we mentioned AquaView had a couple of new accessory items.
Well, they had, you know, the part where the camera goes sideways, they changed that adapter. Instead of pinching it, it snaps on the side. So that's going to be nice because that was one of the weak points of it. And then they came out with an inline fly reel to reel up your line instead of pulling it up by hand.
For the micro series.
Yep, for all the micro series, you can reel it up by hand that mounts on the back of your 3.5 to 5 inch AquaView.
Now you don't have 20 feet of line dangling out behind you, stepping at guys with cleats or stepping on it. You know, it's not a good situation on the cameras. And
yeah, laying that cord out with me and my Cthulhu's, man, I'm gonna slice some shit.
Yep.
And so the fact that they changed the way that the cord sits in the camera is really nice too.
Yeah, like, that was a big seller in St. Paul. I think they were $100, but I mean, if it saves your camera, it comes with a new lens. You know, a new lens and the reel and the mounting bracket. So, I mean, it's not really that
doesn't sound that bad at all. No, no. And then the big news for those of us that have endorsed the religion of the small rod.
Yep.
Palm rods.
Akaris redid their palm rods, and I kind of like the new way that they've went with them. They've made them a little thinner, a little lighter. They've added a sleeve to protect the line as it comes out of the base of the palm rod there. They've got a bunch of new jigs out for the micro option and a ton of strike indicators to match up with each jig that you're fishing.
Yeah, if you need to go small, Akaris got all the all the new stuff out. They probably brought out the best new products, I would say.
I would agree.
I mean, their booth was nonstop packed. Our buddies were working it, and we sent a lot of people over.
I even hopped in and helped them out for about 10, 20 minutes.
Did you give them a little demo?
Help them sell a couple palm rods. Well, they didn't need much demo, and they had a lot of toys to play with at their booth and at their table. I really felt like everything kind of sold itself. People just needed direction on how exactly to use it.
Yeah.
And they have a lot more than just your micro stuff. They got a lot of, you know, 4 and 5 mils, 3 mil jigs.
Right. And springs to match them.
Yep. And springs to match them. They got line. They got imitation bloodworms and maggots.
Everybody always asks me, that's one of the number one questions I get, is where can I get these palm rods? Where can I get an indicator? And the only people that I can send you to that can even come close to the stuff that we're actually using is Akara. So
we had our own booth. The USA had a little booth at HD that set up for us. And we sold
a lot of palm rods, I would assume.
A lot of palm rods. About half the people that came and talked to us wanted to go get a palm rod. So I'm sure that helped Akara out, but it helps everybody out.
Well, I think, I was talking a little bit about palm rods. Steph and I were when we did our seminars here in Michigan. And we were talking about it, and we brought a couple of rods down and showed them, and everybody's just like, well, when do you ever use one of those?
Or why would I? I could never use one is a big thing that I get.
It's a finesse tactic here.
And, you know, we tried to explain to them, when nothing else is biting, we can go down to this micro stuff and get big fish that are just finicky.
Right, but you got to know they're there, too, is the other side of it. You're just not going to all of a sudden pull 15-inch crappies out of nowhere.
Yeah. No, but it's that day when you see them on the
graph. Exactly. They're coming up. They're nosing it. They're lipping it, but they're not going to exactly hit.
Yeah. Those really highly pressured fish, you know, and you got 50 guys fishing the same school of fish, showing them the same exact thing.
All week long.
Yeah, drop it down, and you're going to catch a few more fish that you wouldn't have caught otherwise.
Cool. Well, I think that we're going to end up having to do a video of above and below, because I got my new camera and Anthony's got his GoPro, so we'll have to put a couple of GoPros on it.
Well, we got the AquaViews for underwater.
The AquaViewing and everything, and so we'll get some cameras on that. I think we're going to produce us an MI Ice Guys video on palm rods and teach the religion over here. Get some more guys on some more fish, and you know, maybe we'll call Akara and tell them, you know, they got to give us a little love. Hey, it worked with our buddies over there at Costa Del Mar.
Yeah, they hooked it up.
We're actually now repping them in our seminars as well. So that's been very cool. Any other craziness that you guys saw? What about the suits? We got new suits this year.
Oh, yeah, we got new suits for the USA Ice team. Stryker picked that up.
You know, we got the Stryker Predator. It's a flotation suit. Hopefully we don't have to check that out, but they look really nice. The coat feels good. I mean, not real heavy.
It's real durable. Everything feels like it's well stitched.
Yep. It's got a nice color pattern. So, I mean, it's not, we were a little, I kind of heard that it was going to be stars and stripes all the way up and down, but you know, we got just the gray bibs with a flag on them, and we got blue sleeves with a red back. I mean,
not too flashy, but very
looks
cool.
Good though.
Yep. We'll have to, if we ever get ice, we'll get a picture of us out there on that and put that up on the site.
We'll come on out to North Dakota. We'll be out there on.
We'll be on the ice on the 4th.
Yep, the 4th.
I'm confident the 4th, maybe the 3rd if we hustle.
Anybody who's fishing the tournament will be there like the 8th.
Yeah, you didn't hear that. I told people the 6th.
All right, guys. So anyway, we're the MI Ice Guys, and we're going to take a short little break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about what we're expecting with our venture into the world-level competition again this year. So check out the ice map. If you see ice, please put it up there so that we can come visit too. We'll be right back. Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer, bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hey, we're the MI Ice Guys, and we're back from our short break. We thought we'd give you a little bit of what we know that's going to go on this year at the World Championships. Now, all four of us are back in again this year, and we got some good news the other day that we've got some extra spotters. We ran into some challenges last year of getting around the zone. I learned firsthand that it's a long way to run way past Steph and around the other end and get there and find out that Anthony's moving back to the other end again, and I got to run back. And, you know, I pretty much just got a jogging course in there, and I got it just didn't turn out the way that we dreamed and, you know, in the big starry dream and stuff. But this year we got some more guys going.
Like I think there's 15 of us for sure. I'm not 100%, but I think 15.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I think that's the number I heard.
Yeah, Kelly's up in the air, so we don't know on that one.
Well, she's been out in L.A., so who knows what she's up to.
Well, I hope she makes it, though.
I hope so, too.
It's a new job thing.
Yeah. But, no, we mentioned in the last segment we got new suits and a few other new sponsors coming on board. That we got the new mittens.
Oh, yeah. We got Stagger.
Stagger came up with
Stagger mittens.
What are they, moose hide?
Yep, they're moose hides.
Yeah, they're really nice looking.
Very nice.
We still have St. Croix, or not St. Croix, but Stormy Cromer.
Yep.
We probably still have St. Croix, too.
Yeah, I think we do.
But Stormy's, they're going to be on their website, I think, this year for sale.
Yeah. So if any of you guys who are listening want a Team USA, a USA Ice Team Stormy Cromer, and if you guys don't know what a Stormy Cromer is, it's Stormy and then Cromer spelled with a K. Google that thing.
You'll see it.
Oh, they've been around since 1903 or something.
It's a UP thing too, a UP company, I think.
Yeah, well, if I remember the legend right, it was
1901 or 1903, something like that.
But the guy was a railroad guy, and he played a little amateur ball, and he liked the way the ball caps back there turn of the century. That'd be the 18 to 19 turn. He liked the way they fit, but he worked on the railroad and the wind up there, especially Iron Mountain, you know, the trains blowing through there and stuff, it got a little breezy. So he wanted something with some flaps that you could pull down. Yep. And they came on board last year and gave us all some custom hats that are really awesome. And I know that a lot of us wear them around quite often, and they're very comfortable. I actually now own 4, so I'm not quite as bad as our buddy Sean.
I think he's at like 16, 17.
I think he's in the 20s.
I used to own one.
You still do?
Well, yeah, I do have. I did get a replacement.
And you're about to get another one.
Yeah, you're going to get the 16 version.
So my wife has one, and I have one then.
Nice. Oh, what a caring guy.
And the one I got as a replacement fits her perfect, so it works out.
Beautiful, beautiful. So otherwise, we are going to Ternopil, Ukraine, I believe is how it's pronounced.
Sounds right.
Yep.
Yeah, until we get there and find out we're doing it wrong, we're on with it.
I had some guys from Ukraine in my boat one day for a charter, and they said we're going to have a real good time.
Yeah, our buddy Sean Warner, he's got a real good friend that lives in the U.S. whose dad, I'm pretty sure it's his dad, I'm not 100% on everything, but his buddy's dad is the head of the military police in the town, and I guess it's going to be real good.
We're getting police escorts everywhere.
Well, the Ukrainian team is really happy with us, I heard, that they're actually going to meet us 2 hours from the location at the airport to bring us in because...
Tea.
Sean Warner...
And milk.
It's going to be lots of milk and tea.
Sean Warner did a real good job sending out a letter to all the other countries and got people to respond after the cancellation of Ukraine to... complained 9 out of the 11 countries responded positive and wanted it there.
For those of you that haven't been following the day-to-day drama of our quest this year, there was some security concerns after the attacks in Paris about us going to Europe and specifically in Ukraine to, you know, they didn't want to hold it and there was all kinds of panic over it. And so that has been resolved. We are going and we have been assured of the security.
And the Ukrainian team is doing a really, really good job from what we've heard. That it's going to be the first time that every zone is going to be live across the Ukraine, and it's going to be live on the internet. Nobody's ever done it. The live feed from the ice.
So you guys are going to be able to watch it over the internet.
Yeah. There's going to be a live streaming feed across the internet and across the country of Ukraine.
Oh, my mom's going to be up at all hours.
Yeah, I think they're 7 or 8 hours behind us, so it's going to be like
2-3 in the morning.
2-3 in the morning.
Something like that. So, I mean, last year we had a live weigh-in?
Live weigh-in, yeah.
But this is going to be every zone is going to be live.
That's going
to
be awesome.
So you guys are going to get to see what really happens.
Yep. And we will be forwarding those links there. Now, the lake that we're fishing... is a man-made lake, but
it's
I understand
not
it was
very small.
I understand it was a man-made lake that was made in the 1500s.
Yeah, 1500s for some lord wanted to protect his country and his castle. So he built a monster lake around it.
But as I understand, that makes, you know, it's going to be fairly uniform bottom.
Yep, it does. We got to see a little footage of them actually trying out, it looks like, on this body of water. And the zones look like they have fish everywhere. Not crazy amounts. But, you know, everybody's probably going to have like 75 to 100 fish, which is still a good amount.
That's a good catch.
But, I mean, you're not on top of everybody from what it looks like. You are going to catch fish everywhere.
Oh, so we won't be yard sailing from end to end to end.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. If we can just stay on a pattern and catch fish all
throughout
the day.
You're hoping for. Trackstar Chaz running around the thing is really hoping for that.
From what we've seen, it looks like it's going to be fish everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Now, what about the size of the fish?
They all are decent-sized fish. You know, nothing. And that's what the Ukrainian team wants, is all the same fish, so that they don't get beat by one big fish.
So our guys are, you know.
They look decent. They don't look like small fish.
4 or 5 inch? 6 inch?
Yeah, they look like 6-7s, a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I would say, 5 to 7s, yeah.
Yep, and, you know, they're pretty much the same fish, but they look nice.
Look like bream, or small bream, or?
Yep, small bream, roach,
carp,
and perch.
Whatever they are.
No, they're small bream, it looked like. Then roach and perch, but roach looked like the main thing with scattered everything.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, the hotel, I looked at the website for the hotel, and that looked, you know, nice enough. It's not quite the motor lodge we were in there in Finland, but now, what about the sauna or the banya?
Well, they'll have a banya,
I'm
sure.
Excited for the banya.
Do they have a lake to jump in?
I don't know if there'll be a lake to jump in. There might be I've been to, in Belarus, there was a little pool. In Kazakhstan, there was a 55-gallon drum when you walked out the door. That one was pretty cool. And then, but
you just yanked the cord and...
Yeah.
55 gallons on your head?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Nice.
It was probably half full, but it was a lot and
cold.
There might have been ice in the barrel. It was that cold. It might have been colder than the polar plunge.
Just like the lake. Oh, was it colder than the lake?
Well, it was instant. So, I mean, it might have been, you know, 40-degree water, but you were
I don't
burning
know how
still.
Fast you jumped into the lake, but when I went in, I was underwater and...
Yeah, but you
it
had
was
to walk.
Pretty instant.
I'm just saying you had to walk to the lake.
Sure. Oh, yeah, the yeah, walk to the lake.
This,
yeah.
You opened the door.
There was some foot cool down before yeah. I got to the lake.
Here. Yeah.
I mean, we had smoke rolling off us in Finland.
True.
Here, you opened the door, and it was instant.
In your face.
Well, yeah. Then we had, you know, Sean as well, who couldn't find the lake.
Captain of the Banya.
Captain of the Banya with his hat on there and rolling around in the grass.
Yeah, there was very, very little snow, and he tried it.
I remember coming into the Banya, and he's got grass stuck to his belly and leaves in his hair. It was just hilarious.
And for those of you that haven't followed on the USA Ice Team Facebook page, seeing the pictures of all our other team members, I would encourage you to go in and give a like on that page and take a look at some of those pictures, and you'll see that, you know, Anthony and Nick are the little guys. Well, then there's McNatt, but the rest of us are fairly big guys that go out and hit the ice there. And, you know, Sean is not the slimmest of any of us. And see him rolling around again. I wish there was video footage of that. That would have been great.
There is of me, Anthony, and McNett jumping in.
Yeah. Kelly did put a little piece together on that.
My buddy Andre's in that video from Russia.
Yep. That's it's a fun night.
Yeah.
That's a party night.
It was a good night.
Yeah. But the after socializing with the other teams is just a huge, huge benefit, yep. I think.
This is the first time that we could all be at the Bonnie at the same time. Usually you rent it out. If it's like that again, I'm just going to rent it every day for the whole night and let everybody come.
Right. Invite everybody.
Party on.
I don't care. Everybody's coming. Whoever wants to.
It's cool to hang out with the Russians and the Kazakhs. And Mongolia. I don't remember. Yeah, Mongolians were there.
Those Mongolians could sing.
One or two Finland guys.
Yeah, I mean, one or two Finland guys, but that's okay.
And the old Norway guy, he was there, the tall one.
Was he?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
With the long hair. Yeah.
But usually it's us, Russia, Kazakhstan.
Oh, yeah. Well, guys, you know, we got a lot to look forward to as we're planning for this year's trip. And... You know, we're going to do a couple of little things to raise a little bit of money because this is a costly deal. And stay tuned to the MI Ice guys, and we'll fill you in on those ideas that we're still working on them. We're not ready to announce them yet. But
we need ice.
We need some ice.
January 4th, we'll be ice fishing.
Once again, if you live in Michigan and you see ice that is not in your cocktail and not in your freezer, that is actually out in the lake, please jump on miiceguys.com and get on the ice map and post where you saw ice.
Or you can text message me.
And then call me, I was going to say, and we'll be on our way.
That, you know, that Ask an Ice Guy thing that's on there as well. Feel free.
That goes to my phone, so please.
That goes to all our phones, so yes. You can get us the secret word, and we'll be right out.
Subject urgent, Anthony.
We will probably even bring some free jigs.
From here to, I don't care.
I don't care. Just ice.
We all have trucks that work now, so we can hold it. Chad, did you get your new truck?
I'm debating on a new truck.
He could probably drive his quad anywhere in Michigan.
Yeah, his quad would go.
On any given day.
It probably gets better gas mileage than the fire truck. But
oh, yeah. Well, maybe.
I don't know what the big tracks on her. But
between the quad, the boat, and the truck, might still get the best, and it probably only gets 7.
Well, there's our buddy Chad supporting the OPEC. But anyway, guys, we're wrapping it up because we're going to go out and grab a bite to eat. But just like all of you, we're hoping for ice real soon. We've got big dreams. We've got a lot of equipment to test. We've got a lot of things going on. So miiceguys.com. Stay in touch. Pop on Facebook. Look at us there. And support USA Ice Team. Talk to you soon.
MI Ice Guys would like to thank you for joining us once again for one of our podcasts. Be sure to subscribe on miiceguys.com so that you don't miss any of our tips and hear a little bit about our fishing stories. Be safe out there, guys, and enjoy the fishing. It may thaw soon.